here this morning. It's good to see each one of you here. And I would greet you in Jesus' name and with the words of Paul as he opened many of his letters to different churches. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. The first song we sang really has been sticking in my mind, Faith of Our Fathers. And then, as we shared a little bit of the testimony of our fathers, and I have to recall my own father, my relationship with my dad was not really a good one, but I tried to honor his memory. He died in 2003. And I also experienced the first Father's Day without him. That's like. And I hope that you will forgive me this morning, but I changed the text after I talked to Kevin. I'm still going to speak about Abraham, but I chose instead to go with Genesis chapter 12. The first few verses there instead of Genesis 18. It seemed to fit a little bit more with what I wanted to say about Abraham this morning. And I entitled this Father of Our Faith. Because I believe that we see in Abraham what depth of faith in God really meant. As far as this move that he made, as we read in Genesis chapter 12. I will read the first 7 verses. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, as they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. This book of Genesis, to me, is a fascinating book. One of the meanings of the word Genesis is a beginning or an origin. Another meaning would be generation. And the book consists of 2 parts. We have chapters 1 through 11, the history part, primeval history. And it tells in the narratives of the flood of Noah, Cain and Abel, creation, Adam and Eve, and so on. But then, God, in his attempt to restore to himself a people, in chapter 12 begins another section, and it's the call of Abram to leave the land that he's familiar with, leave the land of his father's house, and go where God directs. And I'm fascinated with that. Because some of the questions that come to my mind as I read this, what did it mean for Abram to really leave his father's land and leave his father's household and leave all he was familiar with and begin a journey to where a place that he didn't know, a destination that he didn't know where it was? And I think of your son traveling, they left their home, but they had a destination. They knew where they were going. They could map their journey. And another thing that fascinates me with this story is that this journey is several hundred miles long. And as I think of today, you know, having once been a truck driver, 600 miles was about a day's drive. But back then, it was weeks and months. And then, too, we think of the time between the time frame of when God first said to Abram to leave his father's land and the time that he actually left. You know, he had some business to take care of, and he had land to sell, he knows what, but it could have been a couple of years. You know, we can read this in the Bible, and it all says it just in a few verses, and we can think that it happened real quickly. But if we get down to the reality of it, I don't think it was that quick. But Abram set about obeying God with what he knew God was commanding him to do. And then the promises that God makes to Abraham. I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great. And the questions that may have been in Abraham's mind as he thought about this, I will make you into a great nation. And Abraham had no children. And he and his wife were getting old. How would this work? I think one of the reasons that Abraham is recorded in Hebrews chapter 11 is because of his faith. That even though he couldn't see the end result of what God was asking him to do, he was willing to do it. And to pack up and move from his father's house was not an easy thing because what we could know of Sarah, his father, was that he was probably pretty rich by then. But this place where Abraham was called out from was an ungodly place with a lot of cult worship, a lot of, the prevalent cult there was worship of the moon god. So it's not like Abraham was leaving a religious or a godly environment necessarily. But to me that adds to the story because sometimes it's more difficult to leave an environment like that. You get a person can become acclimated in that situation and become used to that kind of worship. And then here's this God that calls him and his question could be, who is this God? What prior connection did Abraham have to this God that he could count on this God that's calling him to be faithful and deliver his promises? And just kind of being creative, maybe Abraham had heard about Noah and how God took care of Noah. So that may have been one connection that he had that would that would influence him to obey this God that's calling him. What we do know is that Abraham paid attention to God. And then one of the fascinating things about this story, the story of Abraham, and I just want to kind of go over some things that we can read about in following chapters. And even in the later part of this chapter, you know, we see I'm presenting Abraham as a man of faith. But there were times when his faith was stronger than other times. There were times when he didn't believe God. And that becomes very evident. Even from verses 10 on, when he goes to Egypt, You know, here's this God who called him, and he made this trip, and he found this land where God told him to stay, but then there comes a famine. There comes a time when things got tough. Food was scarce, perhaps. We don't know exactly what a famine looked like. But Abraham makes another move, and he goes to Egypt without God calling him there, without God telling him what to do. And I find it fascinating to think later that Egypt was the very place where his descendants were later enslaved, lived as slaves. But in this part of the Bible, Abraham makes that move on his own. And while he's there, he lies about his wife. Technically. He's afraid his wife's a beautiful woman. He's afraid that he will be killed because of her. So he tries to introduce her as his sister instead of his wife. So where does faith come into that? Then the next chapters talk about Lot and Abraham's relationship with Lot and the dividing of the land. Then we come to another test of Abraham's faith. In chapter 18, where I had originally intended to speak from. God had promised Abraham that he would become a great nation. And here he was, 100 years old, or nearly 100. His wife was in her 90s. They had no children. Once again, Abraham's faith becomes weak. When the suggestion is made by his wife that he take a maiden slave girl and have a child by her, he does that because he sees that humanly as a way to help God fulfill God's promise and put into action the beginning of this great nation. But that's not what God had in mind. Once again, we find that Abraham did that on his own without first consulting God. So we see, you know, a new relationship here that God is developing with Abraham, that, you know, Abraham believes, has great faith, then he's weak. His faith is not so strong. And he's not sure that he can trust God. So he tries to do things his own way. And when God once again comes to him personally and tells him that he will have a child by his wife Sarah, both Abraham and Sarah laugh at that at two different times in two different chapters in Genesis there. Both of them, they don't believe that. They just don't see how it's humanly possible. But once again, God comes through with his promise. And it turns out just like God said. That's where we turn again to Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks about that it was through faith, through their faith, that Abraham and Sarah both again believed God, that God could do what God said he promised. And a child was born to them that would be the beginning of this great nation. And then I come to find out in some later chapters about when this child reaches a certain age, then God commands Abraham to take him to a mountain and sacrifice him. And once again, we read the story in just a few verses in chapter 22. You know, it's like God comes to Abraham and says, tells him to do this, and Abraham immediately sets out to do it. But it may have been a time frame there, a few weeks, a few months. We don't exactly know. But Abraham does obey. And by this time, I would say that he is seeing enough of what God can do that once again his faith is strong. And he believes that God will take care of Isaac some way or another. He takes his son, his only son, his promised son, all that he had built his hopes and dreams on for this great nation that God had promised him, and takes him up on a mountain and offers him up as a sacrifice. Just before he kills his son, God stops him. And once again, Abraham is blessed because he obeyed God. And once again, the promise is renewed to him that his descendants will be many, will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. And I would say that after that, Abraham's faith probably stayed pretty strong through the rest of his life. There weren't many years left. How do I connect this story, the life of Abraham, with my own life, with the song that we sang, Faith of Our Fathers? Having studied a little bit about what the faith of our fathers looked like, my mind goes to not only the ones who remained faithful, and as the song says, they were burned. Well, Hebrews 11 talks not about the martyrs, but I refer now to like the ones in the stories that we have in Martyrs Mirror. People burned at the stake, they were killed, tortured, and all for their faith. We see those as strong examples. But what about the ones that couldn't take that kind of punishment for their faith? What about the ones that recanted? And it's a concern that I carry with me that the faith that's evident in the life of Abraham, the faith that God gave, God enabled these martyrs to have, how do we pass on that faith to the next generation? You know, I think we live in a time when we're so self-sufficient that I'm not sure that we have to have that much faith to live. We wrap ourselves up in our insurance policies. We wrap ourselves up in our wages. We wrap ourselves up in our retirements. Things happen in life, but we seemingly don't really have to depend on God like people once did. And even people in other countries in this era have to depend on God. I'm speaking specifically to us in the United States. Do we even have the kind of faith that we sang about, the faith of our fathers? And what would it take for us to develop that kind of faith? And I dread to think about that too, what that might be. So how can we pass the faith of our fathers to the next generation? I think it's interesting to think about the fact that, you know, through Abraham, a long line of descendants, and several hundred years later we have this guy named Paul who wrote many of the epistles, and who wrote much instruction to us for our time. And in at least two places, Hebrews 6, verse 4, and Colossians 3:21, he speaks specifically to fathers in how to raise their children. When he says, do not exasperate your children, do not cause your children to be embittered against you. And as I think of my relationship with my own kids, I'm like, I did that many times. There were good times as well, but yeah, there were times I exasperated them. There were times that I
was not the kind of father I should have been, could have been.
I'm still not a perfect father. So the question that comes to me then is, what have I done to encourage the faith to be built in my children? In the book of Proverbs, we have a few verses that speak to fathers and what fathers have to do with their children. And then there's verses like, you know, foolish son I think the message uses the word, is a pain to his mother, and so on. But there's not much in those verses that really teach us as fathers, teach a father how to raise a child. And then I sometimes wonder, even if I could pass on a perfect faith to my children, how would they grasp a hold of that? And then I come back to the story of Abraham and his relationship with Isaac. You know, it was not a very good one either. Isaac did not have the strong faith that Abraham had. Jacob kind of renews that faith again. But the question still comes, how do we live so that our children pick up our faith in Jesus Christ? With the advice that Paul gives, I would say that one of the things that could be done would be to live in humility with acknowledgement of our own faults and of our own weaknesses. And there are times when I've had to confess that to my children and ask their forgiveness for things that I did. That becomes more evident to me as I get older that, you know, once again, God doesn't really expect perfection. We strive towards being perfect, but God knows our weaknesses. God knows that we're made of dust. And I find comfort in that, to know that God recognizes the humanity in all of us. And as we see in the life of Abraham, there's redemption in our weaknesses. If Abraham had not gone to Egypt, we wouldn't have the story of the Israelites being delivered. We wouldn't have the Exodus story of when God took his chosen people out of Egypt and restored them as a nation. So in the story of Abraham, I see many times where his faith was strong. I see times when his faith was weak. To me, Abraham is a tower of faith, a strong point of faith. But at the same time, he had his moments of weaknesses. But he was aware of that. And overall, his story is one that we today call the father of our faith. Not only because he was the ancestor, the father of the Jewish people, but because his examples of faith in God and living out that faith reach to us today. God bless you.